Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay from the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm wonderful. I'm hot, but I'm wonderful. Now we're getting the
payback. Well, let's see. You're hot. You must be in Florida, right?
I am, and I'm thinking of cool places to visit this summer.
So. Yeah, because yesterday in Florida, I was talking to my ex-husband. He told me that it was 82 degrees in the morning, like by 9 o'clock.
Oh, it was. Mm-hmm. Yep, by like 8:30 one morning, I was up, and it was already 87 degrees. That's not fun. So, Yeah, the joke's on me now.
Right. And you could be here in the cool breeze of the evening of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So first of all, we would like to say to all of our listeners, we're so sorry about last week when we had Dr. Lauren Olson on, because I had so many comments from people that they were really enjoying the show and had questions to ask him. And we had a technical problem with our station last week, and everything has been resolved. And Dr. Olson was very, very gracious that he will be back here on June 5th. So if you missed a show before or you only heard our little 15-minute segment, you know, please return so you can hear about his book, which is called Finally Out, Letting Go of Living Straight. And Dr. Olson is a psychiatrist. You know, he's been involved in a long-term relationship with a man, but he was married. And I think his book really gives an excellent psychological reasoning to how these marriages happen. Mm-hmm. And how men who get married, you know, from his own personal standpoint, of how his life was. And although I haven't made a special announcement yet, Misty, while we're sitting on the air, I would like to let people know that I am so excited about my newest collaboration book that just came out like 2 days ago, so I haven't publicly announced it yet. But it's a book that was originally, you know, I had gone to my friend Doug Dittmer, who is our male peer counselor for gay men who come to me who are in marriages who want to get support when they're going to be coming out to their wives, because I very strongly encourage all gay men to come out to their wives as soon as possible. That is my philosophy. That's what I believe in. I believe in you have to be honest. You have to not let your wife suffer and know, you know, think that it's her fault that the marriage is failing. So I'm always happy to counsel gay men, but I think hearing it from a gay man who's lived through it and who can really understand it better, just like I feel we're there for our women, we understand them. But the men need someone who can understand them the same way that we understand our women. So I refer them to my friend Doug, and I guess it's been close to, I guess, almost 200 men that have been referred to him in the last 5 years since I started working with him. And most of them have moved on in their lives and, you know, ended their marriages because of my support and mostly because of Doug's support in working with them. So I said to Doug, I said, you know, the problem is that there's lots of information out there for all kinds of gay issues, but there's hardly anything out there for men who are married as far as how to come out, you know, why to come out, you know, why it's good to come out, why you owe it to your wife to come out. And as you know, that, you know, I have a book, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, which is a book that's a compilation of stories from 27 different women from all different walks of life and places in life, who have gone through this experience, so that everybody who's reading this book will make a connection with somebody or many people in here. And I felt the men needed something similarly. So I asked Doug if he would work to do that for me, as far as, you know, interviewing men who have been through this process of coming out and leaving their marriages. And we would form kind of like a guidebook to encourage men to do this and to understand what the best practices are, because I feel there is a right way and a wrong way to do it. I mean, there's never a good way. It's always going to hurt, and it's always going to be very, you know, the hardest decision any man ever has to make. But if a man truly loved a woman, then he really owes it to that woman to be honest with her about this and not keep her guessing. So Doug, you know, found 16 men who are willing to tell their stories, and he put them together. And I wrote a few chapters about, you know, the grieving stages that women go through so that hopefully men can understand this as they're, you know, moving through their divorce phase and so they just don't abandon their family. And I wrote about, you know, the right way to do things and the wrong way, and Doug put in his own experiences. And we put together a beautiful book, and it just hit the market 2 days ago on Amazon.com, and I'll be announcing it to all of our readership and support group members. But this is really an amazing book, Misty.
I cannot wait to read it. I'm sitting here, just can't wait to comment on it. You're just holding me back. I mean, first of all, a huge congratulations. Second of all, this book has been needed for years. I mean, for decades. And
well,
third
here's the funniest thing is, Misty, that I wanted this book for the men. You know, because they needed some kind of guidance as far as coming out to their wives. You know, I work with a lot of men who are really stuck and who just can't make that next step, you know, or they'll sit there for an extra 2, 3, 4 years,
right,
5 years, 10 years. They just don't know how to make that step. And it's not like they're bad men. They're just scared men. And I really came to understand this more and more after working with, you know, close to 2,000 men over the years. They are really frightened and scared. A lot of them feel guilty. A lot of them are fighting it. A lot of them don't want to, I would say almost all of them don't want to be gay. And they keep thinking maybe they can hold this in, not feel it, whatever the case is. But I did feel that, you know, men needed something. But now that I've read it, I mean, this to me is going to be, out of all the books that I've written, I think better than any of them, for the women to understand what these guys are thinking and what they're doing in their marriages. Because
exactly.
These guys were very open and they were very honest. And they told the truth. I mean, they told about the cheating. They told about how they tried. They told how they couldn't perform. They told how they fantasize about men when they're having sex with women. You know, these stories just blew my mind away because, you know, I know all this stuff, but just reading it all in one book, you know, not looking at it from the side of the men, looking at it from the side of the women who are always, you know, some of our women, Misty, I think that you can attest to this, are really in denial.
Yes, absolutely.
No matter what we tell them, they want to believe that this is going to change.
Absolutely.
But the reality is that this doesn't change.
It does.
And I think that by reading this book, it's going to be just, like I say, revolutionary. The name of the book is Over the Cliff, Gay Men and Straight Marriages. And it is available on Amazon, and it's available in ebook also. So, you know, Doug had picked that title because that's what he said how he felt when he was living this life. He felt like he was living over a cliff, and, you know, always, you know, ready to fall off that cliff. So I think it's really important that, you know, if you do go into Amazon, there's a few other books that say Over the Cliff. So if you just go to Over the Cliff Gay, and that book will show up right away. But it is really an eye-opener, and I'm really very proud of it. And I'm really very appreciative that the men, you know, did this, you know, gave of themselves to tell these stories. Not for the men so much as I am for the women. I think our women need to know this. It's going to hurt when they read it. You know, they're going to get sick when they read it, but they need to hear it. Because this is the only way they're going to get past this. And one good thing that I think, Misty, that the message came clear, really came through clearly, is that this isn't their wives' fault. Their wives had nothing to do with their homosexuality.
Absolutely. And my prediction is this book is going to be probably your most important piece of work for not only for gay men and marriages, but for, as you just said, the straight wives. I mean, this gives that
perspective. That wasn't the intent, but it really is going to turn out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we have a guest with us. Hold on just 1 second. Let me see if I can bring her on with us. Hello. Let's see. Hold on 1 second. Hello?
Hello.
Is this Suzette?
Yes, it is.
Wow. We have our very special guest tonight, Suzette. Thank you so much for coming. This is Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, and also you're on the line with Misty.
Hello.
And welcome to Straight Wives Talk Show. Also, if anybody would like to call in tonight and have any questions for us or for our guest Suzette, I'm going to give you our call-in number. It's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat it one more time. Area code 646-716-4893. 4893. Suzette, how are you?
I am doing great. How about you, Bonnie?
Good. This is so exciting for me to get to actually talk to you because we've been in touch for so many years now.
I know. I get to hear your voice.
Same here. So, Suzette, maybe you can tell people a little bit about how we came to be in touch with each other.
Oh, my. It was during a time in my life where I had some questions about my husband. And this was our second go-round, getting married. And probably the listeners would probably, identify with the fact that even though it might have taken a while, we still ended back at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So at that particular time, I was determined that this time when we separated and divorced, this was going to be the last time, and I was going to be informed. I was going to examine, not run away from this, not avoid it, not psych myself out about it, but I was going to face it head on. And so I Googled, I think, homosexuality or something to that effect, and
uh-huh.
Your name came up, and that's where it started. I contacted you, and we started a dialogue that has been kind of going for the past, has it been 3 years, Bonnie?
Mm-hmm. At least. I was going to say closer to four.
Yeah, but it's been a while. So, yeah,
well,
that happened.
I was going to say the reason why I'm always so impressed with you when I asked if you could be our guest. It's because I'm just always so amazed by, you know, how far you've come in this time that, you uh-huh. know, you were in such doubt when I first talked to you and going through such a struggle, and yet
yes.
you have such great inner strength, you know, and, you know, you put your life back together, right?
Yeah, I have, and I'm grateful because, like I was saying, I was just, you get to a point where you just you don't want anything else but truth. And
let me ask you this: tell people what area are you from?
I am from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Right, because that beautiful accent had to come from the South, just like Misty.
I'm a Southern girl.
Misty's from Kentucky, right, Misty? Misty? Oh, I wonder. Misty might be off for a second. Yeah, but Misty.
I had it on mute, so there seems to be a better connection. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, love the accent. Love the accent.
Yeah.
Oh,
Misty's
I thank you.
Right. So, you know, and Suzette, how old were you when you got married?
Oh, man. I was 29 when I got
okay.
married.
Okay. And did you know your husband for long?
Well, I had seen him at church. We kind of traveled in the same circles. And so
mm-hmm.
I met him at a church. And we just kind of started building something from there. It didn't start out, it wasn't an instant thing. It's just he kind of hung around in the circles. And after a while, I remember significantly, my sisters and I sang, and we did a concert, and he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what opened the door. He offered to support us. He believed in what we were doing, and he lended his support. And my sisters kind of ignored him, and I just kind of felt like, gee, this guy's lending his support. Somebody ought to at least say thank you, and it went from there. It went from there.
And so that was the beginning of it, right?
Yeah, that was the beginning of it. And
was he around your same age at that time?
About 2 years younger.
Okay.
Younger.
And did he talk to you about him? Was he involved in any other relationships before you?
Oh, he was. And the thing about it was he painted his sexual preference is something that had happened in his past. That once he, you know, got into church, gave his heart to the Lord, that basically used coining religious terms, that God had delivered him from that lifestyle and had given him a ministry to help other men get free, pretty much was the way it was painted to me. And me being a
Now, up until that point of your life, had you really met with, did you really know any other gay men?
Oh, God, no. If I did, they were very flamboyant.
Oh, flamboyant, okay.
So you
didn't make a connection between him and gay. You really did believe, like you said, that he gave himself into the Lord. The Lord healed him.
And he was musical, because, you know, a lot of people with musicality kind of have a little rhythm to them. And so and then being in a Pentecostal kind of church, it wasn't strange to see men with that kind of mentality, I'll put it that way. So I didn't really know that much. I was kind of a sheltered church girl, so I didn't really know a lot about that. And even my father, the household, sex was not something we talked about in that kind of term. It was more like keep your legs closed, and that's it. You know.
Right. Well, that's how people used to grow up, especially in the South, and especially with the Pentecostals, right?
Exactly. And what made him significant to me was my parents had told me, you know, all men want just one thing. And he was someone that seemed to really enjoy me and my company and wasn't pushing that sex card. And so I thought I had found a gift that the Lord had given me, a good man that was going to love me for me.
And I think that's where many of our women, especially religious women, which is why I really wanted you to come on here, because, you know, you grew up in a religious family. You're very active in your church growing up. And we have so many women in this situation, and they do feel a sense of relief because somebody's not all over their bodies, you know, because they're brought up with Christian values to wait until after you get married. And they meet a guy who's not sexually all over them, and they think this is a blessing like you thought. But it really wasn't much of a blessing in the end, right? I'm saying, you know, once, you know, the reality of it, you know, after you got to know, these are always the signs that I tell women to look for, you know, when you're in a relationship.
Absolutely.
And I think that gay men really, you know, seek out good Christian women because they don't feel as intimidated by them, because they know that they really are not sexually experienced.
Exactly.
Because they know they're not going to be pressured into having sex before the marriage. And that even after you get married, you know, they have nothing to compare it with.
Exactly. I heard so much of Corey and what she was just saying, you know, especially the religious, the background, the church stuff, and then meeting someone that didn't want you just for sex. Wow, how refreshing was that supposed to be, you know? Little did I know, and apparently little did she know, that wasn't what they wanted anyway, you know? We didn't have the right parts for what they wanted.
Yeah, Misty grew up also in a Christian home, Suzette. So, you know, with her family in the South and also having the same kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, it really is much more common than we understand, you know, to have this happen with women who are involved with the church and who are, you know, good women who are doing the right thing and thinking they meet a guy who's just trying to, you know, be a good guy and wait for them. So you did get married, right? I'm sorry, are you with us, Suzette? I wonder if we've lost our connection, Misty.
Apparently.
Well, I think maybe we are having another technical problem.
Oh, dear.
Let's see if Suzette's there. Wait a minute. Let me try this number here. Hold on just one moment. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this calling?
This is Kathy, Bonnie.
Kathy?
Kathy, I've been with you a long time, Kathy.
Kathy from Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Hi, Kathy, how are you?
I'm good. I just thought I'd call in and tell you ladies, you and Misty, what a wonderful thing you guys are doing for everybody.
This is so exciting to hear your voice, Kathy.
Yeah.
You know, here's another longtime friend from our support network. And I've never actually had a chance to say hi to you on live voice. But, you know, we write back and forth quite often. Let's see if I can just see it. Don't hang up, Kathy. Let me see if that's Suzette on the other line. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Suzette, is that you?
Hello.
Hello. Suzette?
Hello.
Hi, Suzette. We had lost you.
Oh,
can you hear us?
I kept saying I could hear you all fine, but I guess
we lost you altogether. And also, Suzette, we have another listener with us, Kathy, who is here. We were in the middle of your story. I'm so sorry you got cut off.
That's okay.
But, Kathy, did you hear Suzette's story so far?
No, I heard a little tiny bit. I just was going to listen, and then I thought, well, I'm going to call in just to tell you all how nice it is that you're on the air and how what good work you guys are doing and how much help that you have given to me.
Oh, I'm so glad, Kathy, because I'm hoping that you're not going to make any more mistakes.
No. No.
Ever again.
No. No more of
Kathy,
that.
Kathy's the kind of person, by the way, who I told her she's not allowed to even date anybody till I meet them again.
Oh, goodness.
Because Kathy has just had bad luck.
Yes.
You know, Kathy is a very warm, kind, loving person like all of us. And, you know, she's like a, you know, with a sign out there, you know, just come in any predator and take me, you know, because she's just so good-hearted and good-natured. And that always leads back to my point of having to build yourself up so that you're not vulnerable for any kind of predators to be attacking you. So I told Kathy, even though we are a big distance away, but she's still going to have to bring whoever she's dating to meet her Aunt Bonnie. So I can check them out before she gets too involved with them. Right, Kathy?
You're correct. For sure.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, I'm so happy you called in. But you can feel free to stay here or go. We're going to, you know, finish telling, you know, Suzette's story.
Go ahead. I just wanted to tell you guys that you and Misty and your friends you have on tonight, and I listen every week, so I just wanted
you're the
to
best,
thank
Kathy.
You all.
Thank
okay,
you.
Take care.
I hope to meet you one day, Kathy. Think about coming to Philly in September.
I will. I'm thinking about that. My son could drive me there, so I just might go.
I think you need a weekend away with some support.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And we're only a
few
hours away.
Thank you very much. And I want to tell everybody that that definitely you have helped me tremendously. Through all
thank
of this.
You, sweetie. And I plan
and
to keep
picking,
doing that.
And picking, I think that I chose those type of men because they're needy. You know?
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you just take care
of yourself.
All right.
And like
and
I said,
I'll
be checking out
soon.
Anybody in your future. Don't worry.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
All right, sweetie. Love you.
Love
thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. I'm so sorry, Suzette, that we got diverted, but I'm so excited that we got to hear from Kathy. And but going back to your story, when you got married, how long did it take you to realize that something was wrong?
Well, you know how you have those inklings, but I was never taught to trust my intuition. I was never taught to trust it. So even though I had inklings during the dating phase that something was off, I didn't have enough information about myself, about normal between men and women, and about that lifestyle to really, really, really hone in on it. But my intuition was working. I just didn't know how to honor it. I really didn't. And so when we got married, I remember very well, had the kind of Cinderella kind of wedding. Everything was just lovely, 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 lovely. And I remember the honeymoon night, and I remember how awkward and weird it was. But the part that really, really, really got me was the very next day. You know how, you know, you've had sex with your new husband, and you're just excited, and you wake up the next morning, and you start kind of rubbing here and rubbing there and that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
He slowly, very slowly, turned around and gave me one of those looks that could just kill and told me, look, this is not a soap opera. We're not going to be doing this all the time.
Mm-mm-mm.
I sat there with my mouth open in absolute shock, and then he slowly turned back over.
Well,
and
that was your
message
number one, like, don't be going after me, right?
I was, he said, I told you this is not like a soap opera. This is, you know, this is not Cinderella. We're not going to be doing this every day or all the time. And I just was in shock because, I mean, you wait. You're told in church that you should wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then, though I wasn't a virgin when I got married, you still have high hopes. And you're
right.
Hoping that, you know, if you marry someone in the church and you do it the correct way, because he and I had not been intimate,
mm-hmm.
that it was going to be, you have permission now. You can do it however, whenever, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to say that, and it stunned me. And I ended up getting dressed, going out to a parking lot in a place I did not even really know, and crying and saying, God, what have I done? What have
mm-hmm.
I done? You know.
So then what happened?
But then, you know, I go back. He's still a little cold, but then it's the thing that gets you. You're cold one minute, you're warm the next minute. And with him, he had a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost, it wasn't like this sullen person all the time, but we laughed a lot, you know. We had the same kind of funny bones, so it's like we got along fine as long as it was platonic. You know, and it kind of throws you off because then you've had the wedding, you've done all this stuff, and because my parents were married till my father died, I wasn't one of these kind of people that was going to just jump up and end the
mm-hmm.
marriage. And again, I hadn't been taught to honor my intuition. I hadn't been taught to honor my feeling about things. And a lot of times he would use the Bible to make me feel bad for wanting sex in our marriage or
mm-hmm.
wanting more affection and intimacy. You know, he would say things like, no, God should be your all in all. It shouldn't make you feel this bad just because I say no. You mean to tell me we're in a marriage and I can't say no sometimes? He would flip the script
mm-hmm.
and make it like I was the one controlling. I was the one that, you know, was insecure. So, and I'm sure all this sounds very, very real to you, to Misty, and to
yeah,
the others.
Yeah, it certainly does.
Yeah.
I think
you know,
it sounds not only real, but I think it's the experience that so many of our women have is that, you know, here they are waiting for that wedding night, then they get the sexual rejection. You know, sometimes it's in the form of, oh, you know, I'm just too tired. Then it becomes you want too much. And then it becomes, like you say, this is not a soap opera. Or this is not a movie or a fantasy. This is real life.
Yeah,
and in your case, yeah, like in your case, you weren't babies when you got married, right? You were 29, he was 27. So,
right.
You know, once you get to that age and they start saying, well, maybe that's for teenagers, but when you get to be this age, you know, people don't do it all the time. You know, they'll come up with every little excuse in the book not to do what is a natural thing for straight women and men to do.
Exactly.
But if you don't have that experience, or if you can allow yourself to be manipulated because you're not, you know, strong at the moment, you know, and they start, you know, tearing apart whatever feelings of self-esteem you have, then you start feeling like, well, I better not ask for this because, you know, there's something wrong with me. You internalize that you're the one at fault. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. You start having anxiety attacks. I started having panic attacks and a lot
mm-hmm.
of anxiety. And I had this sense, I never had this sense of well-being. I never felt like I could completely rest or relax. You know,
did you
never.
Cry much?
I did in the beginning. I did a lot of crying in
mm-hmm.
the beginning of things. And like I said, you know, like
you know, we were married twice, which, yeah, I know.
Well, how long was the first how long was the first marriage?
About four, maybe 4.5 years.
Okay. And then when you went your own ways, did you say, well, this just isn't working?
Yeah, and the thing about it was, at that particular time, though I felt like it was an issue with his sexuality, and he was even confronted by a pastor at the time, I never caught him. So there still was that naivete about things. I just ran.
And the trust that you believed in him, because I'm sure that, you know, your marriage is supposed to be built on trust.
Right. And so I was spooked, and I kind of ran out. I didn't want to know details. I didn't want, you know, I just wanted to escape. I just wanted to go. I was done. And that's what I did the first time. The second time, I think my esteem was stronger, though my knowledge may not have been, because I didn't date. I didn't do anything when our divorce was final. I was just relieved that my life was not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it wasn't this drama. I think the spiritual type drama goes on even when you can't put facts with it. Things are off. They're
well, you know what
Misty
calls it, dancing in the circle of crazy.
Girl,
right, Misty?
That's good. I got to write that one down. It's truly dancing in the circle of crazy. That is it. That's a wonderful way of putting it. And you just have that, you're just so relieved to not have that craziness that you almost like somebody saying boo, 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 but you don't see anybody. Just this
craziness.
Well,
you know what? Misty always says that when you're dancing in the circle of crazy. What do you say, Misty?
Well, you don't know how crazy it is because you just keep adjusting. You just keep finding ways. Accommodate and adjust, and you change who you are, even down to the core. I mean, it changes everything about you because you always accommodate their needs because they have you so beaten down, either mentally, physically, emotionally, that you just keep thinking it's you, so you just keep adjusting, and you just keep on adjusting to new things. And once you cross into that circle of crazy, you have no idea you're there once you cross over. You just keep adjusting until something finally happens so strong that one, you either divorce or you either wake up and say, this is crazy. You know, usually a friend or someone can support you through it. And then once you get out and you look back and you realize how crazy it was, how hard you were dancing inside the circle of crazy.
And I was so relieved. It's like I could breathe. And so I didn't date. I didn't want to date. I just wanted to experience life on my terms.
Uh-huh.
And then some things started happening in my personal life. And, of course, when you have a child with an ex, whether he be straight, gay, or whatever, there is still that cord connected to that person because you're co-parenting.
Uh-huh.
And I was during a very difficult time in my life. He was coming over and taking our son out and different things, and he was being very nice to me, and it kind of coaxed me right back. And one of the things he said to me, which rang true, I guess my ego needed to hear it and the church part of me needed to hear it, where he said, you know, I prayed to God and I realized I let the best thing in the world go. And I promised God if he gave me another chance, gave me my family back, I promised him I would be the kind of husband and father that my family
deserved. And it sounded good, right? And it sounded really good.
It sounded good, and I have to be honest. I wish I could say, I was just such a great person, and I was like, oh, this is lovely. But as I think back, I really think the reason I married him the second time is because I felt a certain sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
I felt he owed his son a good father, and
mm-hmm.
he owed me a good husband. And if he was willing to pay that debt, and put our family back together again, then I should let him.
Well, also, it's hard being a single parent, correct?
Oh, yes, very hard. Very,
you know,
very
it's really hard juggling all the different ends. And you know, it's not that you don't necessarily love a person, it's just that you were living with someone who couldn't be a husband to you. So he comes back and says that he's done everything he humanly can do, and he realizes how wrong he was and how he could change. And, you know, through God, he's able to do this. You know, I mean, I think that it's not that unusual. People do sometimes go back, Suzette.
It worked.
But at least they go back.
It was working with what I understood at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I was like, yeah. And then, of course, he was, you know, he was helping her sister out. He would, you know, give me some money to help with this, money to help with that. And it felt great to have some help because, yes, truly, being a single parent is hard. And that was not ever my intention to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of worked its way slowly, worked its way back in. And, I mean, the coup de grace, we were having sex like rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, God, he's cured. Oh, he's fixed. Thank you, Jesus. You know.
Right, and that's what I call the second honeymoon phase, when men who are gay, you know, they want it so badly that they are able temporarily to perform with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can force themselves to do things that aren't naturally natural to them, either out of, you know, their love for, you know, trying to keep the family together, or they're able to fantasize it away, as I was mentioning about our new book that just came out. Over the Cliff, where it talks about how husbands can perform sex with a wife, not wanting necessarily be there, but, you know, they do love their wives, but they're fantasizing about men while they're doing it. So
and
they can
the
perform.
You're thinking, because to me, I was like, boy, this is passionate.
Exactly.
But when I really understand it, I really honestly believe it's almost like you're making a mad dash for the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we think is passion, it
mm-hmm.
takes that energy and that much psyching themselves up to do it.
Exactly.
And we like, oh, you're putting something on us. And the thing is, it's like, you know, but they took every bit of energy, every bit of gumption, everything that I could muster just to do this with you.
Mm-hmm. And it did. But this is what I call the second honeymoon phase that, you know, so many of our women go through as soon as they either suspect their husbands or accuse their husbands or catch their husbands, and the husbands want to show them, no, honey, I've changed. I can be the man you need me to be. I can make beautiful love to you just like you want me to. And it really does work sometimes for a few months, but it surely doesn't work any longer than that.
Yeah.
Was that what happened with you too?
Yeah, and you know what? It really didn't even last for a few months. It lasted
I was being really generous, Suzette.
Huh?
I was being very generous when I said a few months.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was giving you an extreme example. It's usually a few times. But, you
know,
women in their hope against hope and wanting to believe that this is how things can be, you know, they say, well, he can do it with me this time, or the next time he can do it with me again.
Oh,
so it lulls
them
into this false sense of security, right?
Exactly. He did it enough to get me to say I do again. And as soon as I do, he did.
Then he does. then it's. I do, we don't.
It's,
right, exactly.
And what was so funny, he knew he couldn't just stop the second time because I was wise to that. So what happened was he would use plausible, rational reasons to either distract me or explain away why we weren't doing it.
Mm-hmm. And you know how much planning that takes?
Yeah, and so it just, you know, he found ways to avoid it. He found he created situations that would cause me to be very tired or very involved in other things so that I'd be too tired in hopes that I would not ask for it.
Exactly.
You know, But then you think in the terms of, is it Looney Tunes or put it that says, he didn't know me very well, do he? He whatever that little animated thing said, because I was a person that even tired, I enjoyed sex. So it was almost like, hey, I'm tired. This does not stop me from wanting it. So I guess she had to work a little bit harder and think of other creative ways to do it.
Well, it's 2 in the morning, and I'm still not that tired, hon. I still want to have it, right?
Yeah,
then he really
felt
defeated.
If I saw you getting in the bed, okay. All right, maybe we can.
I don't know. It's like a full-time job having to think of reasons why you can't have sex with your wife, with gay men,
That's very difficult because then you start feeling like, wow, you mean to tell me you're willing? At first it works, but then after a while you start getting it. You start getting, okay, the real is you just really don't want to have sex with me.
Okay, so let's say you felt that way, Suzette. Did you personalize that it was because it was you, or did you realize it's because he's gay?
The second time I married him,
mm-hmm.
I realized it wasn't me. First time,
okay.
I bought into it, that it was
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, no. No. Mm-mm, it wasn't me. And the second time, I did not live in the closet quietly. First
mm-hmm.
time I was quietly and cooperative. Second time, I said what I thought. It wasn't anything about family secrets. I asked people to help us. I didn't go quietly the second time.
Now, were you still involved with the church at this point?
I was, and we were, as a matter of fact, we were ministers in the church. And during the time when I was, at the point where I'm like, okay, we're going down this same road again, but this time I'm not going to just leave because of intimidation. This time I'm going to know exactly what I'm dealing with because I don't plan on repeating this ever. Did I say ever?
Mm-hmm.
So this time I said I'm going to look it square in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know it. I want to know every aspect of it. I want to know all of it so that I will not be fooled like this again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I prayed for that. And it's funny when you pray, you have to really be careful because truly I prayed for truth and it came. In many ways, through the church, I was told
mm-hmm.
by the pastors at that time that they had heard that he was saying things to some of the men there that made them
mm-hmm.
feel nervous, and they were like, we're not like that. They were taking
mm-hmm.
them, and they were complaining to the headship. We had a company together, and one of the males. Shared with me how my ex was trying to get him to engage in homosexual acts or either watch porn with him.
Mm-hmm.
So truth came, and it was staggering because it opened me up in areas, the way people did things that I didn't even know. I didn't even know the depths or that a person would go to.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hard, but I was glad that I was getting the truth. I even went and talked to men who were gay, and I would say, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. Tell me the truth. Tell me. I haven't called him, but everything inside of me is saying, this is wrong. The way he's behaving toward me is wrong. What he's saying, one thing, he's doing another. I was discovering porn sites. I mean, it was just, and one guy told me something that was very sobering. He says, Suzette, I was like, but he says he wants the marriage. And the guy said, it doesn't matter what he's saying. If he's not covering his tracks, no better than this, leaving the computer up, knowing
mm-hmm.
that you can criticize, leaving letters that he normally would hide, leaving them around, he's letting you know he doesn't give a damn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's not even trying to hide it anymore. He says, so forget what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not even trying anymore. He says, so he's giving you your answer.
Now, did you confront him during that time, though? Did you accuse him of being gay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And of course, he did.
And he would just deny it?
Yeah, because I think it was during that time when this download thing was coming out. He was trying to explain to me that he wasn't gay. Because, you know, the download movement, pretty much the guys are saying, no, I'm not gay. I'm a man. I just like having sex with a man. But I'm totally 100% prime man. There's no sugar in my blood, so to speak. It's just
In other words, it's all straight with issues.
Like to have with a man. And I'm thinking, well, it sounds gay to me.
It's very gay. And they can call it whatever they want to call it, on the download, straight with issues. You know, bi-curious, just fooling around. It doesn't mean anything. It's all gay. But I think a lot of it also, you know, they say within the African-American community that there's a much higher rate of, you know, AIDS that's growing because of the cultural, you know, differences as far as accepting homosexuality. So many men are living on what, you know, Dale King would call the down low, where they were, you know, going into straight marriages but having sex with men on the side. Do you hear much about that in the black community?
To be honest, I haven't really stayed as close to it. It's almost like with the divorce and me moving on with my life, I'm not as close to it as I was before. But I did buy the that was written by J.L. King, and I read what he said. And as a matter of fact, my ex told me that he was good friends with Mr. King. And he was trying, he told me, he said, no, you need to understand, I'm not gay, Suzette, I'm not gay. And he was trying to explain the down low aspect of things. And I kept saying, well, you know, you can call it whatever you want. All I know is sounds gay to me.
And I think since that time, because I was considering doing some work with J.L. King a couple of years ago, it did not work out because we were on very different pages. But he had come to me to approach me about doing some stuff with him. And I said to him, you know, I'd be happy to do things with you, but you have to understand that to me, there is no such thing as, you know, bisexuality. You know, that there's no such thing as, you know, straight with issues. If you want a penis, you are gay. And I said, you can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, but I'm going to call you whatever I think you are. And he seemed to be okay with that, but, you know, he still was pretty insistent. But then I heard this past year that he finally did admit that he is gay.
I hadn't kept up with him, but of course. It's like, you know, you might, for whatever reasons, you might want to color it whatever you want, way you want to color it. But it's
all the same thing.
Yeah,
if you want it,
I mean,
if you think about it, if you're watching the porno for it, that's what you are. You know what they say, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it acts like a duck, it's not a goose. So they can call them, well, that's the way I look at it. Call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I do feel that sometimes that, you know, like I say, in the black community or the African-American community, there's such social stigma with that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much anti-gay feeling in the African-American community. I'm not sure why, but, you know, there is. And I know that a lot of people have a harder time coming to terms with themselves because of that. And the only one that's really hurting is women like you, you know, because these men are forcing themselves to get married to unsuspecting women who have no clue what's going on. And so who ends up really losing here? Us.
Exactly. And like I was telling someone, I said, you know, I can kind of give him the first time around because maybe he did think he was, quote, unquote, delivered. Maybe he did think that it was something that he, you know, could
overcome and have the kind of family life or whatever that he envisioned as being what he wanted. But the second time into this, there was no denial.
Exactly.
I can't believe the denial the second time around.
So how long did you stay with him the second? How long did you stay with him the second time?
Amazingly, I think we stayed a little bit longer, about five years. But a lot of that was because it was hard at that time. My whole economy so it wasn't as easy to leave the second time as it was the first.
So where do you two stand today? Are you on good terms?
Well, actually, no, we're not. And it doesn't have to do with his sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with his character. Because the sexual orientation was only one aspect of the deceit. But he has a very opportunistic character. And if you can't have a good friendship with somebody who's like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And sometimes it's better not to. You know, you have to move on.
Yeah, it's only because of his character. I've forgiven the rest of it, but it's because of his character that there is no interaction or respect.
Let me ask you this question, Suzette. Were you involved with his family at all when you were married? Did he have extended family?
Not really. Even though he does have a family member that I'm able to, you know, talk to, and that she's almost like the person that I talk to, and that she communicates with the rest of them. You know, something happened with our son. Because he's grown now. Our son is pretty much grown now. So if it's something like he's, you know, in the hospital or something like that, then she is somebody that I can, you know, get in contact with. And she's a real sweet, sweet giving person. But I think out of all of them, she's the only one that's really tried to maintain a connection.
Now, does your son know what's going on?
I think, you know, he and I really honestly have not had a direct talk about it. I know there are things that his father has done character-wise that have caused strain in their relationship. But his sexual orientation would not. My son is a very open type of person. And it's really a character issue for him because he's one of those people kind of like me. It's like, I can take whoever you are as long as you reveal who you are.
Exactly.
I'm okay with you, but don't deceive me. Don't tell me you're one thing and then be somebody else. Because then I have a problem with you, and it doesn't even matter what your orientation is. I have a problem with you. And so because of his father's character issue, sadly, they're at that point.
So tell us what's happened since that. Have you met some wonderful men?
Oh, my goodness, yes. For a while, it's almost like for a while you couldn't get that giddy up and you get along. You know, if you keep trying and you keep educating yourself and you keep, you know, being determined that you're going to not only learn about gay men, but learn about you.
Exactly.
And that being a woman are not something to be ashamed of. It's okay for you to be a woman. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the right will appreciate that and not want you to be a man or act a different way. So I stayed with it, Bonnie. I stayed with it. And I have met, oh, my God, a yummy, yummy, wonderful man.
Isn't that wonderful?
I've had to kiss a few frogs. But,
exactly.
You know, and that's okay because I decided with each situation to, even if I fell down, to fall forward. I can deal with falling forward, just not falling backward. And so it's been a very painstaking journey, but it's been a good journey because it's helped me to become the best me. And I think with that, it's helped me to attract the right kind of man. And now we have not, you know, been going out for a real long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know how sometimes you go out with somebody and you start picking up on different things about them. The smoke starts clearing and you start getting beyond the honeymoon phase. And you
mm-hmm.
start kind of analyzing and seeing things and trying to decide if the relationship is viable or not.
Right.
But with this guy, my intuition tells me he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to compensate, you know, or whatever. But he's
or look to make excuses, right?
For him.
You said something earlier that I just would like for you to talk a little more about, because
sure.
I think this is so much the key, and what, you know, I feel that I make it such a connection with you, you know, admiring the strength that you have. And also, I just want to mention to our listeners that Suzette has beautiful blogs, you know, and writing that she does, and we'll tell you how to access that. And also, I'm going to put it in our next newsletter, if that's okay with you, Suzette, so that people can read it.
Yeah,
and go to your blog and, you know, read what you do. But the thing is that I think the key thing that you started off this whole show with was by saying that you weren't trusting your intuition when you knew something was wrong in the marriage, correct?
Correct.
And I think, isn't that the key, to believe enough in your own intuition?
It is the key. And for me, like I said, I had to educate myself. Because even with the intuition thing, I still didn't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't see facts, then you can talk me out of it. Like, for instance,
right, but it was enough to
at least,
but now in this stage of your life, now that you've lived it, now you realize that it really is something that you can count on, right?
Oh, yeah, and I'm learning more and more to open myself up to ways of letting life educate me that my intuition is spot on. And I'm,
mm-hmm.
like I used to tell my son, I might not be at the house knocking on the door, but doggone it, I'm on the street. So my thing is, I don't have to be but 80% accurate. I might
mm-hmm.
not have to, you know, down to perfection or that I'm exactly right. But if I'm on the street, that's okay with me. And
mm-hmm.
I've learned with my intuition, it will always put me on the street. I might not be at the right house, but I know something. And I let life reveal to me what's up.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I think that'll be a very valuable lesson for your future relationships, for sure. And
yeah.
Suzette, when people want to read your blog, how do they get to your blog?
It's www.50timeswriter.
I'm sorry, say it again.
www.50timeswriter, with the number 50 being 50, times a writer, .blogspot.com. I think that's the way it works.
Well, if it doesn't, all you have to do is write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll send you the link immediately over to Suzette's site, so you can see her site. And I'm also going to put the site in my next newsletter, you know, mention it. And also, Suzette, what I love about Blog Talk Radio is that people can listen to this show any time of the year or the day. And everybody new coming to our network, you know, they always listen to our past shows, so other women will be able to hear you and the inspirational words that you have to offer. But if there's ever an example, I think, if I've watched somebody over time who's really gotten so strong, it's been you, which is why I wanted you to come on the show. You know, your words are so inspirational. Your talk about relationships are just so on target. You know, you didn't let this hold you back. I mean, regardless of how you felt during that time, you know, what, you know, how you felt about yourself, you were willing, you know, and able to really move on after this, correct?
Correct. And one of the things I kept telling myself is there's something in me that wanted to be free.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be free and to own my life again. I did, because I felt like, you know what, a lot of time had been stolen from being with a man that was pretending to be something that he wasn't. And
uh-huh.
I was to not let him have me, though. And so you have to fight, because otherwise you let that define you. And I said to myself, doggone it, I'm not going to divorce this man.
No,
and then
not right now. Not at the time.
Yeah, and not let him cheat me out of
uh-huh.
whatever I have to do to reclaim me. Whatever I have to do to reclaim me, I got to do it. Because it's about being
now,
free.
Now, don't you feel that when you're living in these situations, they're very mentally debilitating to you?
But first you have to get out of it.
And I think that's the whole thing. And I think you have to be emotionally ready to make that step. You know,
yeah.
One thing is to physically remove yourself, but you have to be emotionally ready to say, this is not working. This is not going to be the right relationship for me. And, you know, I spent my time trying to make something work that's just not working, and it's time for me to get out rather
than
lingering, right?
And, yeah, and sometimes I think, at least with my case, I think the reason why I stayed in it, sometimes you don't want to know.
Uh-huh.
It's like, especially since I married him a second time, I didn't want to feel like a fool. I didn't want to feel like, my God, girl, what's wrong with you?
Uh-huh.
Got out of it. You mean to tell me you married this man again? So something in me did not, I didn't want to know. I didn't want to hear it because I felt like it was a personal tarnish on me. And so I wonder how many women stay in those situations because they think it's personal. They don't want to see it because it's personal.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as women get stronger, the longer they are, you know, we've been really lucky in getting women to build themselves up to make that move. It's
yeah.
just like it's, you know, like you said, when you're a single parent and, you know, you have two or three children and you don't have a good job, you know, and you weigh and measure, well, maybe this is better for now, or maybe I'll wait until the kids grow up. You know, it's never easy. But I just tell women that as bad as it seems, it's better than living in a debilitating situation where you're walking on eggshells every day. When you're living
yeah.
with someone who can't emotionally be there for you as your husband, someone who sexually destroys you because, you know, it takes away all sense of self-esteem that you have sexually. You know,
yeah.
and then you just don't, you're never yourself. You don't even know who you are anymore. They rob you of that identity.
And that's
by living
why
in that kind
I'm,
of situation.
Yeah, that's why I'm so grateful because I think another thing that helps is people have to cultivate a teachable spirit because if you don't know, you have to let life teach you. Whether with me, it was books, it was people, it was finding you. Where you start saying, you know what, I don't understand this for whatever reason, but I need to educate myself about me, about men, about what's normal, because I don't know what normal is.
No,
I don't
but know. You didn't know what abnormal was, right?
Yeah, I did know that.
Right, and I think a lot of our women, and that's what I tell them, you may not know what normal is, but you know what abnormal is. And you know when something doesn't feel right. You know when something doesn't sit right with you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of that intuition you were talking about, right?
Right. And but then sometimes for you to get yourself out of that rut, for you to keep attracting the same type of thing.
Exactly. And that's why we tell women that after any kind of relationship like this, you must build yourself up before you get back into the same situation. It may not be with a gay man, but it will be with a predator. Because there are all kinds of predators out there that are looking for kind-hearted, weak women. And they know how to spot you. They know who you are. They have that sixth sense, and they know when you've come out of a bad relationship and when you're hurting, and they know how to pounce on you. Am I right?
And and they know that you don't know men.
Isn't that
the
truth?
They know you don't know them, so therefore they can talk stuff because you don't know them. You don't know the games they play. You don't know what they say to you. You don't know how they do what they do. And that's why I said it's very important. My cousin, I ended up becoming close with a male cousin of mine, and I said, listen, I'm tired of talking to my girlfriends about men. I want to talk to you. Tell me about men. And when I would go on dates, I would report to him, and he would tell me. And there were times when I didn't want to hear what he had to say. But God knows he was 90% right.
Mm-hmm.
I started not only reading books about men, I started taking men that I knew had no other objective but to tell me the truth. And I started letting them talk to me about themselves. So not only do I need to educate myself about me, but I needed to know about men. I needed to know
what
my daddy
is. One of the things you have on your blog, I think it's so interesting, it's called Do You Speak Male? And it says, do you speak male? It's like a typical exchange, deciding where to go for dinner. What do you have a taste for, he asks. I don't know. What do you want to eat, she replies, priding herself on being agreeable, cooperative, and selfless. She doesn't understand why he gets agitated. If I was traveling to France for a vacation or to study abroad, it would be critical to my success in that country that I at least familiarize myself with the language. I'd need to be able to ask for directions, catch a cab, order a meal. This could mean the difference between ordering snails and chicken. Yet men and women don't even make the effort to learn each other's language. Instead, we argue that men are running game, and men argue that women are playing games. Certainly, there is a psychology to the way men communicate. I asked a retired gentleman why men don't like to ask for directions. Proudly, I interjected, it's because you want to be the hero. That's right, he said, but it's deeper than that. He had my attention. We don't want to seem like wimps. So to us, only wimps have to ask for directions. He added that men see it as a sign of weakness. So tip number one, if a man asks you where you want to eat, tell him where you want to eat. If a man asks a woman a question, he's interested in one thing, the answer. He isn't testing her for compatibility. In fact, most men find it boring when they've met a female clone of themselves. Take a tip from the popular Eddie Murphy movie, Coming to America. A good man wants a woman who has her own mind, not someone who is waiting for a man to give her his. You see, he gets pleasure from giving you what you want and intrigued by your perspective. Generally, men are direct and like direct answers to their questions. Sure, in the beginning of their relationship, some witty banter can be sexy, but as a rule, men don't mix words. They don't contemplate appropriateness. They don't check their internal emotion and social circuits before answering. And then you go on and you tell all about these things. And you talk about your cousin Lawrence, and I think it was just so great that women will have such a better understanding that if they have to speak, you know, or at least understand what a man is talking about. Mm-hmm. And those are, I mean, I think that with your blog, you put so much of your own life experiences and learning in here, correct?
I do.
And that's why, you know, if anybody would like to really learn about life, yours is the blog they should be reading and contributing to and have themselves on as a friend. I mean, I just think it's just beautiful the way you put everything in perspective. But this is part of life experience and learning, right?
It is part of life experience, learning, reading, and staying open and realizing I don't have the answers. I'm a mess, and I need somebody to help me pull this thing together. It's time to put pride on the shelf. I had married somebody twice. It was like, it's time to put pride on the shelf, girl. You need some help.
That's all right, Suzette. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Kathy. Before you get too involved with anybody, you bring them to meet your Aunt Bonnie. You say we have to take a trip. My aunt really wants to meet you.
Well, my son,
new one now, and he's already checking them.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, that's a man's point of view. You better come and get mine so I can ask him all those questions about his mental health so I can let you know on whether to proceed or, on whether to proceed or not. But, you know, I just hope that you meet somebody as wonderful as you are and as beautiful as you are. You have your beautiful picture on the site. So when people do look at your blog, they're going to be, you know, able to see who you are and how beautiful you are. And not only just on the outside, but, of course, on the inside. And what an inspiration you are to women that you've been able to pick up your life, look back and reflect on it, not be too hard on yourself. You know, you made a mistake. Okay, you made a mistake twice, but always for good reasons. It wasn't like you were stupid. You really hoped against hope that things would be better, and they weren't. And rather than just say, well, I have to accept it, you saved yourself. You decided,
yes,
I'm not going to live my whole life like this, right?
Can't do it. Can't do it. Ooh, life is too short. Can't do it. Mm-mm.
Too short. And, you know, like I always say, my mantra that women should always say, life was never meant to be this complicated. You know, when your life is too complicated, then there's a problem. Because life wasn't meant to be this complicated. Life was supposed to be easy. Everybody has problems. But those are just normal problems. These kind of problems are not normal problems. These are complications that nobody should have to, you know, find themselves in, right?
Yeah, and they rob you of life instead of infusing you with life. And there's something wrong with that.
You're absolutely right. So I'm so, you know, appreciative that you called in tonight as our guest. Misty, wasn't she inspirational?
Absolutely. I loved what she had to say. I heard so much of my story inside of her story, and that's what's always so wonderful about these wonderful guests we have, when you know, can identify parts of their story. And, you know, it's just so many common threads run through the fabric of what it is to be a stray wife.
Right. And, you know, the interesting thing is that well, I love also having you on here. It just shows that this particular situation doesn't have any boundaries. It crosses every boundary. It's, you know, it doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what, you know, your nationality is, what race you are. You know, I say Misty's from the South, and, you know, she comes from a strong Christian family. I'm from the North. I come from a, you know, Jewish family. People are Hispanic. They're, you know, African-American. They're white. They're Asian, Indian. I hear from women all over the world that this is a problem that is universal to all women. So I think that, you know, having you on here tonight and, you know, giving people another, you know, side view of growing up in a religious family in the South, you know, and giving that, you know, perspective of it, how so many of these women tell me the same thing that you're telling me, Suzette. They're just so happy when a guy's not all over them, shows them respect, you know, as far as the church is concerned. That you really think you have a prize in a man when this happens. But it's really not. That has to be a red flag, don't you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care how Christian a man is. If he's a straight man, he's still going to want to do something, right?
He's going to want to at least touch you, be close to you, sniff you, something.
Something.
That's going to be some energy that you got to kind of push it back on. When there's no energy, you need to kind of recognize.
Now, let me ask you this. Since that time, have you found out, has he come out with, is he living a gay life yet or no?
No. Well, I want to say no, but because I haven't been keeping up with him, I don't know, but it would surprise me if he were. It would surprise me.
Because you think that he's just so, you know.
Well,
I guess some people are just living in such denial themselves that they just can't deal with being gay.
Yeah, and it doesn't serve whatever it is that he wants, because when a person has an opportunistic kind of character, they do whatever it takes for them to get what they ultimately want. So sneaking around in the shadows is okay. So I'll act like I'm straight, or I'll act like I'm a minister, or I'll act like whatever I need to act like to get from you what it is I want to get from you. So I think for that reason, him coming out would not serve his purpose.
No, it's just a shame to have to live a life that isn't your life for a whole lifetime, don't you think so?
Oh, yes. It's all about being authentic. It's all about owning your life. And
I just can't imagine waking up every day and being somebody who I'm not. I think that has to be the hardest thing in the world.
It's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard.
Absolutely. I mean, you're just kind of giving up your life.
Yeah.
But thankfully, at least you freed yourself of, you know, your life with him. You know, that's on him now. You know, you have to do what you have to do for you. Right?
And life is good, Bonnie. Life is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
And it's not only so good, though, Suzette, it's also short. And you don't have a lot of time. And you have to make the best of every minute that you have. You know, my heart goes out to women who stay for 20, 25, 30 years in a marriage and end up with nothing anyway. Because they wanted to do the right thing, right?
Yeah, or end up with an addiction. Or end up with something else where their lives have been taken and robbed from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fight. It's a fight. And that, I guess that's the only thing I can say. You got to fight. You got to fight to get yourself back. You're worth it. You've got to fight to get yourself back. And it's hard, but if you fight, you'll find joy inside that you didn't know, a sense of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Love, people. Life can be wonderful. It can be wonderful. And I am living it. My life.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Well, I hope you'll join us again in a few months and inspire our women some more, Suzette, because you did a beautiful job of doing it tonight. And, you know, our women need to hear women like you who are making it, who have overcome it, who are moving on, and who are finding, you know, themselves again and, you know, looking forward to finding soulmates again, right?
Yeah.
Not again in your case for the first time.
Yeah.
Your soulmate is out there somewhere. And you are going to find him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yep,
oh,
you got to believe in love, too. Well, anyway, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Suzette, and we'll have you back here in the summer. And we'll read some more of your words, and I'll be letting people know about your blog, and thank you so much again.
Thank you, and I was right. It is www.50timesawriter.blogspot.com. So I was correct about that.
And if you didn't get that down, just write to me at bombk@AOL. And I'll be happy to send you, you know, the link to the blog. And I will let all of our readers know about it, you know, next month in our upcoming newsletter. And thank you so much, Suzette. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
You too, Bonnie and Misty. It was wonderful to meet you and to hear with you.
Wonderful
and even
to hear your voice.
I know she's listening.
and you too, Kathy. Yeah, we wanted to thank you for calling in. All wonderful women, and all of, you know, like I say, just struggling to have a good life, and that's what life is about. So we'll talk to you again in a few months, and thank you again so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
All right, and you have a great night.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye. Well, Misty, wasn't that wonderful?
Yes, that was a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Very inspirational from Suzette.
She's
just such a beautiful talker. And, you know, when I see women who have overcome such adversity, not only once, but twice,
mm-hmm.
and they still have a positive outlook and they still won't let life get them down, you know, and Kathy, who, you know, called in earlier, she's been through this several times, not just once or twice. And it's just, you know, she's such a good woman. And like she said, you meet needy men who just need more than you can give them. But they know where to find women who are givers. And we have to learn how to stop giving so much and start giving to ourselves and loving ourselves enough not to get ourselves in the situation, wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely, and that's what happens. I mean, it's like we're the bullseye on this dartboard of, you know, let me find a woman that wants to take care of me, that will put up with all my stuff. I mean, it sounds terrible, but, you know, if you don't fix what's going on, if you don't find out who you are, honor who you are, care for who you are, improve the things that need to be improved, and honor everything else, you're going to end up with the same person again. He's just going to have a different name.
Exactly.
But he's going to have the same, you're going to be repeating the same patterns. It's not healthy. I mean, don't do yourself that way. It's worth, you know, something in this country, we will go and pay $200 for a pair of shoes. A woman does not care to do that. We will pay $500, $600, $700, $800, $1,000 for a purse because we don't care to do that. But when it comes to therapy or counseling, I don't get it, Bonnie. You know, I mean, sometimes some of our women, and not just our women, it's the theme of our country, I think. We just don't put value on that. And let me tell you, you're worth every dime you invest in yourself, whether it be a good book that's going to help you, whether it be to speak to a therapist, a counselor, life coach, whatever it is you need. I mean, you're worth every investment to repair yourself.
Right, and invest in yourself first because, you know, you're not going to be good to yourself if you don't.
Absolutely.
Which reminds me, Misty, you know, we haven't really talked about this much, but just to let people know, we will be having our get-together, our annual get-together in Philadelphia this year on September 24th and 25th. And I'm really excited about, you know, the way that is shaping up because we have some wonderful women who are going to be joining us. It's also going to be a double celebration because it'll be celebrating my 60th birthday. So it'll be wonderful to be among friends and people who I know and new people to meet who are part of our support network in our healing weekend, and we'll be doing some extra activities because of my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody is interested in joining us, you know, I'll be happy to start sending you the details as they develop in the next few weeks. Just to write to me, to bondk@aol.com. And when you talk about women doing things, you know, for themselves, this is like the greatest gift you can give yourself, is to come to these weekends where you get to meet other women who understand every word you say without saying a single word, where you can get different types of suggestions and different ways to cope better in your strategies in life, share with other people. We have lots of laughs, don't we, Misty?
We do.
Lots of laughter. We are very funny. So, you know, you do get to have a lot of, you know, laughter with it, too. And it's right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So it's close and central to everything. So if you're interested in joining us, all you have to do is let me know at bondk@aol.com. And I will mention that book one more time for those people who want to get the advance jump on this book, Over the Cliff, Gay Husbands of Straight Wives. It just came out 2 days ago. It's a book that will be really an eye-opener to everyone who reads it. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be very happy to have Doug come on the show. And Doug and I will be discussing the book and the efforts and the processes that he went through and the lessons that he learned in working with the men that contributed to the book. So that'll be right before Father's Day, and it will make a wonderful Father's Day gift, this book. If any of you have husbands who are on the fence, who don't know what to do, this is a book that can really guide them out of your home and into their, you know, another life where they belong, and so you can have the life that you deserve. So, any other announcements, Misty, before we go?
I think that's it. Just congratulations on your book. I can't wait to read it. I know it'd be great.
It is going to be great because it's just going to change, you know, the thinking of so many women in a positive way, in knowing that, you know, they're not at fault. They can hear it from the men themselves. But it will also educate them to seeing that, you know, I think that's the important thing when women always say, no, not my husband, or he wasn't doing anything, or he didn't have time to do anything, or he would have never done anything. They're going to see that they did a lot of stuff. And they're not going to be, you know, I think, if anything, they'll be shocked when they see this. I really do. I think that a lot of times we just, you know, ignore the obvious signs. We don't see the red flags. We, you know, hide our heads in the sand and we say it can't be happening, or like Suzette was saying, she didn't have any proof. You know, so many times when people don't, I don't know what proof necessarily is. I mean, I don't know if you have to walk in on your husband in bed to say you have proof. I think that if you have his websites, his emails, and, you know, any man who tells you that he's a little confused, once a man has to say those two syllables, confused, then you know you have a problem. Because I would venture to say that straight men aren't confused. I know that gay men are. Have you found that to be true also?
I have yet to run into a straight man that tells me he's confused. Gay men, yeah, I think they are confused in terms of, you know, they're married, when they're married to, not gay men in general, I'm talking about the ones that are married to straight women. You know, we've talked about this dozens of times, how, you know, they think, and even my ex-husband, I'm sure he got into the marriage thinking that it would work, and that he loved me, and but then it doesn't work, you know. And they try to, I guess, just keep suppressing it and suppressing it and suppressing it, and it doesn't always work. And I'm sure that leads to the confusion, the torment. You know, it's not
it
all
does.
Easy on their side. Mm-hmm. So,
and you know, as, like I said, I'm here for the women, but I understand the men. I'm there for them also. I want them to have a quality of life too. Not
mm-hmm.
at the expense of their wives. I want them to be emotionally responsible and financially responsible. But I work with some wonderful gay men, and it's like such a struggle and such a battle for them to be honest with their wives because they're afraid of hurting them. I think they had this fear of, what if my wife walks out on me? You know, where are the children going to be? I mean, there's so many different things. So, you know, this book really articulates so well on all the fears that the men have, why they stay in the marriage so long, but also what kinds of activities they're doing while they're in the marriage, so that women who just really don't believe this goes on, they aren't going to understand. Face it, accept it, and you have to, you know, deal with it, and it's not going to go away, even though it could be suppressed for a while, it's going to pop up again,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you just have to learn to accept it and move on, because that's really the only solution.
Absolutely.
But we'll talk more about that in the upcoming weeks. And Misty, it was wonderful to talk to you.
And
I appreciate all of our callers tonight, Kathy and Suzette. Thank you so much for calling in. And next week is going to be a holiday weekend. What are you doing for the holiday weekend, Misty?
I don't know yet. I'm sure it will be something outside, maybe to the beach or something. I don't know, if it's not too hot. Only if it's not too hot.
Right. And in Florida, it's always too hot, so you might as well just stay in
the
air conditioning.
Maybe I'll just sit in air conditioning. Who knows?
It could be a lot worse. Look at other parts of the South right now, terribly drowning.
I know. I can't complain. Our weather is fine. There's been horrendous weather all over the states, all over the world for that matter, you know. Complain about that.
Well, at least the world is still here, right?
Absolutely. I woke up. I'm still here.
I heard that was supposed to end yesterday, too. But at least we're still here to have the show tonight.
Absolutely. Still here.
No guarantee what's going to happen after that. But anyway, I would just want to wish all of our listeners a wonderful week, wherever you are, good weather, bad weather. You know, it's all in your head, how you feel about life. So just remember to be good to yourself, think about yourself first, and to build yourself up. Keep listening to our shows. If you'd like to get my newsletter and you're not getting it, write to me at bondk@AOL, or go to my website, gayhusbands.com, with the S. And there's a note there where you can write to me to get the newsletter. Thank you all so much, Misty. I love you.
I love you, and love to all. And I guess it's time to say goodnight.
Okay, goodnight, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.